types of training, the intensive training that they have to go through to be ready for the real thing.
Yeah, it is nonstop, and it's really we get called when people don't know who else to call. So we have to be able to respond to and hopefully at least stabilize anything that that comes up. The fire service historically has been built out of people that did trades, and that's kind of been a challenge because the focus on trades has gone down in past years. Thankfully, it's starting to kind of get a resurgence. So you would naturally have people coming into the service that had a background in electrical, plumbing, whatever. And now we're finding that we actually have to do a little bit more focused training on some of those things to make sure that when someone's having their air handling unit in their house is smoking, we have to at least have a baseline knowledge across the board of what are the components of that unit and how do they secure power and resolve something to make sure that it doesn't spread beyond that.
I never thought of that. Yeah. When you show up to things, you have to be able to know either how to turn the electricity off or to do a number of some of those things. It's more than just fighting fires.
So our kind of priorities are always life safety, incident stabilization, and property conservation, really in that order. So we have to be able to try to make sure that we stop any kind of expansion of an incident, whether it's a fire, whether it's a chemical leak, any of those things. We try to get there and interrupt the natural flow of things to keep the incident from getting larger. So I started volunteering in Goochland when I was 16 years old. I continued that for 28 years, simultaneously working for Spotsylvania County.
So, I did not know that.
Yeah, there were plenty of times that I had to run out of the house to go answer a call. And I can remember birthday parties that I was planning to be there and I had to run out the door. And it's unfortunate, but our community has those needs. But it does truly take a very supportive family. And my wife and two daughters have been awesome. And I'm looking forward over the next several years to be able to make up some of that and spend a lot of time, especially now that I've got a brand new granddaughter. So.
Yeah, that does change things. I know that from experience too. It does change things. So many, it seems that they start out as a volunteer and then they keep that up.
Most of our folks, really to do it, whether you're being paid for it or not, it really comes from our servant's heart. And again, this to me has been not just a passion, but truly a calling. It's one of those things where, trying to figure out what I was going to do when I grow up. I guess I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up.
Sure.
Is what was the path I was going to take? And to me, everything pointed to this. And it was one of those things that it was some things kind of came to me easier in this route. And I think that's because there was another hand and it guided me this direction.
Yeah, I think you can see that. You can see that. So at some point, I guess early on, you decided that you were going to get the continuing the education and I guess see how far up you could go in the leadership end of it.
I would say it was not necessarily intentional as far as the promotions. I saw early on. I had some really really great mentors. Throughout my career in all different roles. But I had some really great mentors as a firefighter coming in, and they really sat me down and told me about the importance of education and being able to look beyond our situation where we presently were and really looking beyond our department or even our region. So that's something that, the education has definitely benefited me in those areas. And that education has transitioned more into experiences of exposure throughout the nation and really some international exposure. So I've just finished up a term as the president of the Southeastern Association of Fire Chiefs, which is a division of the International Association of Fire Chiefs.
I thought that was so cool that you did that. Whenever I would see things from meetings.
It was a great time.
That's our guy.
It really gave me the ability, not just the networking of folks out there, but kind of exposed me to different challenges, different successes that people had across the country. And really being able to being involved in an organization like that is pull those kind of best practices and that knowledge yeah. back to Spotsylvania so that we can employ those here and be successful.
Yeah, no, I thought that I was just proud to have my fire chief in
it was definitely an honor. Yeah, 30 years ago, I never would have expected that, but it's really important for us to look beyond where we are presently and just always look for how can we better serve our community.
Well, and another area, and it was just a few years ago that I was kind of keyed into the problem of cancer in firefighters, and Spotsylvania has really stepped up and people involved in trying to educate the public yeah. about that have always pointed to what how Spotsylvania and how serious you took that.
That's a walk throughout my career I wish I did not have to take. And the emphasis on that, while it's been system-wide, it's also been personal to me. So being a cancer survivor, most likely the result of exposure to toxins in my career, really drove that home, and I made a decision very early on that I was not going to be a victim in that. I was going to take it and run with it and make sure that others either could learn from my walk mm-hmm. Or that I can have a significant influence on making our personnel safer, being able to have programs to you know conduct early detection and find pathways to better treatments moving forward. So there's a lot of things that we put in place to make sure that we are reducing the risk. I don't think you'll ever get rid of the risk just because of the nature of our job and,
right.
and everything
yeah.
out there. But
yeah.
anything we can do to lessen that risk of exposure and again, those times that we actually do have those exposures, provide that early detection, and that way people can get treated and have long, healthy lives.
And you showed me with the opening this spring of the, mm-hmm. of the new fire station
yep.
in Spotsylvania of how you have
yeah,
all that place.
Not just
that.
The equipment and things, but really the design and layout of the building, making sure that we've got separation between the bays where the diesel and contaminants could be
yeah.
and the clean living spaces and the focus on making sure people have, you know, the ability to shower after they get back from a fire. That's significant. And reducing that exposure to the toxins that they are interacting with on a regular basis, day in and day out.
Well, growing up, you'd go to the fire station and just be in awe of looking at a fire truck. To look at a fire truck now, boy, the technology
yeah.
is just amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It poses its own challenges. So again, I grew up on fire engines. Aerial apparatus, everything that were strictly mechanical. So there were no computers or any kind of really electronics
yeah.
involved. And now
they are
rolling computers that also have a mechanical aspect to them. So that's a challenge as you try to maintain. Everyone listening knows very well that if you buy a computer today, a few years down the road, you're going to end up having to deal with some bugs and so forth. So that has been the challenge of making sure that we have state-of-the-art yet safe equipment that can continue to serve our communities. Fire engines years ago used to last for 30 years. Again, they were strictly mechanical.
Yeah.
You cannot buy that anymore. It's against the standard. Good reasons why they changed the standards, primarily for safety and so forth. But we have to replace them a little bit faster. And honestly, these days, with as busy as our system is, we really rack up the amount of miles and hours on them responding to the variety of calls that we do. So within about 10 years, all of our equipment has, close to a couple hundred thousand miles on them and countless hours.
Yeah.